Okay, we have a few. Call the meeting to order for the Library Joint Powers Board for Monday, October 6th. Can I have a roll call?
Supervisor Friend. Supervisor McPherson.
Here.
Councilmember Matthews.
Here.
Councilmember Reed.
Here.
Councilmember Termini.
Here.
Councilmember Terrazas.
Here.
Citizen Campbell.
Here.
Citizen Dexter.
Here.
Citizen Mosier.
Okay, thank you. We have a quorum. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda for today, October 6th.
So moved.
Okay. Second. Okay, a motion by Supervisor McPherson, second by Mayor Reed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is oral communications. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to an item that is not on today's agenda? Seeing none, I would like to speak to one item that's not on the agenda, and I'd like to recognize Council Member Cynthia Matthews for her birthday today and for spending her time to be here.
Thank you.
Isn't he supposed to bring enough to share?
So thank you for being
here. But frankly, who's counting?
So we can continue after we jointly thank Cynthia for being
here. Yes.
To move to the next item on the agenda, which is our presentation for the Touch Team Project by Janice and Debbie.
I'm just going to try to find a place to stand right on my bed.
For the record, Supervisor Friend has joined us.
Thank you.
I want to introduce you to Debbie Dodds, who has been working with us on a very special project being beta tested at Scotts Valley to work with members of our community who are suffering memory loss from Alzheimer's or dementia or some other similar circumstance. There are things, there are very straightforward, simple things that can be done to help them. And Debbie, whose training is from the University of Massachusetts, came to us with an idea, and we have run with it. Very proud of what's been going on, and she's going to tell you more about it. Debbie? Come back.
Thank you.
when it's a beautiful place to have this class.
So I'll just say one other thing, that is that we've trained about 10 people as volunteers that come in and work with folks. I'm just really thankful that we have such an ingenious and innovative library system that can reach out into the community and do this.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any questions? I was just curious, I know it's at Scotts Valley, the Scotts Valley branch, but do you offer this service at other branches? Or I know it's an application, but to help with people in some of the other branches in the system?
We'll be in grant support in November, and it's a matter of training the coaches, but the population's there and the equipment's around too.
Great.
Are all the coaches volunteers?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. How long is that?
I train for 4 hours. I have a master's in gerontology, so I do actually sensitivity training where we blindfold people and put glasses on them, we put earplugs in, we take their hands, we put popcorn in the socks, and they really get a feeling for what it feels like to be a little bit older. And then we work with the specific applications. I have four areas that I work with, and we have apps in all of those areas.
Can you bring the app up on the screen so we can see it?
She's got one.
I could, if I could mirror it to her.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
This technology coming into the things are really. Do you think it'll work?
It's really small.
And no. What else? I'm saying 50-50.
One of the most popular apps is Google Earth, because you can take people to maybe the house where they grew up, or which place where they went on the honeymoon, or some other place, and it's positive. They can kind of relive the same memories.
Well, maybe you can answer that. How do you identify people to participate, or is it just walk-in?
They have been mostly self-identifying. Is that right, Debbie?
I'm sorry.
I know, you were doing something else.
That's my dog. Okay, so I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
The question was how are the people identified, the people in their lives?
Okay, so we've worked a little bit and distributed information through the Alzheimer's Association. Uh-huh. I've worked with the Senior Center in Scotts Valley, and we have had a little bit of targeted marketing at Spring Lake, which is a senior living community in Scotts Valley. So we did have a quick article in the Scotts Valley banner, and we had just some calendar events on. But we don't have a lot of capacity. We can only take, we have four coaches that come at a time. Mm-hmm. So we can have, a group that might come in and work with a coach could be anywhere from one person to, I've had five people want to work together. So they all call the volunteer office and they register. And if Denise is not 100% sure that they're the right fit, then I talk to them. We make sure that they don't just want to learn how to use an iPad, that they have a need and that we can help them with that. So one of the programs, I actually use a quadrant system where I do, one of the things is life stories. So my mother's 90, she has Alzheimer's disease. She had all of her grandchildren here 2 weeks ago, and we did all these little stories. And if you wanted to see how one works, I could do that. So you don't need the whole story, but what's neat about this is my mom doesn't remember doing this 2 weeks ago. And she loves seeing this. Her cognitive powers are great, her reasoning's good, her storage and recall's gone. So doing this brings her joy. And me as a caregiver,
discussion.
What is the format of the program? So are we bringing a group of people in? Are they kind of self-directing? Are we giving them some options?
So we've kind of worked with that, and I could see it going a lot of directions, but right now we're doing two-week sessions, mm-hmm. and we have a Monday, Wednesday, or for a Monday, Wednesday session for 2 weeks, we'll take one of each of the application quadrants that I work with, and we'll go over soccer programs and then have an independent time for them to do it. But the people that started coming didn't want to quit. They really just want to come. They need a place to go, and they don't always want it. They like the library. I mean, you heard that. I didn't ask them to say that. That's very genuine.
Board Member Dexter?
No, I have asked my
question. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Very informative.
I should add, just for the record, as if it's not enough what Debbie's done with this application, she has been one of our main volunteers with the Friends of the Scotts Valley Library for the last several years, hugely involved with that patio project and making that a reality and raising a lot of money the last couple of years. So she is a star on several levels.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, and that's our consent agenda. Generally, these items are just taken in one motion and for approval unless a board member or a member of the public speaks and would like to have further discussion. Is there any board member that would like to pull any of the consent items?
I just want to register an abstention on the minutes of September 8th.
Okay. On A?
That's the way.
Okay, two abstentions. Is there any member of the public that would like to pull an item that's on the consent agenda? Okay, we'll bring it back for motion.
I'll move consent with the two abstentions noted. Second.
Okay. Motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Citizen Member Mosher. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously with two abstentions for Board Member Campbell and Supervisor Friend on the approval of the September 8th minutes. So the next item on the agenda is a staff recommendation. Teresa?
Well, the only one who's here is Lynn.
Yay! Yay.
So anyway, she went above and beyond, and so she was recognized for it.
Hmm?
Was Hannah here? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
I'm sorry.
Hannah's here too.
Thank you, Lynn and Hannah. Appreciate all your work. Mm-hmm. So we'll move on to the next item, which is the Friends of the Santa Cruz Public Libraries report. Is there someone here to present?
Yeah, I'm here to do that. Does everyone have a copy?
No.
I got a couple here, one for this side and one for this side. And one for
okay.
Me. And then what I'm going to start passing around is the flyer for our new fundraiser. So the the Friends held the fundraiser at Santa Cruz Mountain Brewery last Thursday. I attended, myself.
Yeah,
it was very popular. It was really a lot of fun. We hosted author Beth Baker, and she talked about her book, which is kind of interesting because I think it ties to this presentation. With a little help from our friends, creating a community as we grow older. So there seems to be a focus this month. Coming up is going to be a meeting at the Aptos Branch to discuss having a chapter of the Friends at Aptos Branch. There's going to be a joint event with the Santa Cruz Chamber at Woodstocks on October 29th. Please come down. And at the Shadowbrook, the Shadowbrook's going to help us do a little fundraiser on November 4th. And of course, our big fall sale, the flyer is going around right now for you to take a look at. And that's on November 14th and 15th. Any questions?
Also had the first meeting of the Capitol Friends.
That's right. That just occurred, didn't that?
Yes.
So how'd that go?
Just the right people to be coerced into being the officers and stuff.
And so we hope that Aptos and Capitola will join us pretty soon as being our newest chapters in the Friends, and we're looking forward to working with both of those groups.
What's involved in setting up a chapter? Just bringing, do you need a board that you establish or have for each branch?
We have a set of bylaws, procedures, policies, whatever you want to call them, so that there's a mutual understanding about what goes on between the chapters and the larger Friends group. And then, of course, there's got to be the cooperation with the local branch. Mm-hmm. So, you know, knowing the staff at the local branch and being able to work with them is really helpful. And, of course, you'll want that chapter to be talking to the branch about what their particular needs are. Every branch has something different. And with the possible parcel tax coming up, we're going to want more folks engaged out there. So this will be really helpful.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, moving on. Are there any member reports? So we'll move to staff reports.
Well, I am very pleased to bring you the interlibrary loan policy. We are bringing the interlibrary loan back. And the first step is the board policy. We also, we're having to do some data cleanup. It's more complicated than anybody really wants to know. So that may still take us a few more months. But once that's done, we've got somebody, there's a staff member in collection management services who's taking on this responsibility. She's not here. Jennifer Hooker is her name, and she did the research, got the policy together. She's working on the Polaris, ILS software that we have, has an interlibrary loan module, so we're using that to implement interlibrary loan. We used to do it all by hand. Now we're going to be automated. So I just need you to approve the policy. We did put some of the restrictions that we put on are ones that are very common for libraries to have when you do interlibrary loan. We did include a $5 fee. This is, we really want to make sure people are serious about the items they want, and it's just kind of it's a low threshold, but it's enough to make, believe it'll be enough to make a difference so we won't be inundated to a level that we can't support. So, any questions about it?
Any questions?
This is the one thing I've gotten asked about since the day I came, and I'm still getting asked, so.
Ron, just very please.
Councilman,
happening, it's great.
I was prepared to make a motion. I thought your staff report was... Oh, okay.
Is any member of the public who wants to speak to this item? No? Okay.
Yeah. I thought the staff report was good. The policy is well explained. The restrictions and the little charge are all defensible and make sense. So, move approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. A motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Citizen Board Member Dexter. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Okay, the next item on the agenda is other business, and there's two items on this, and we'll take them one by one. The first one is the approval of minimum deliverables for branch facility projects pending final allocations.
Yeah, this came from the board directed me to work with the subcommittee on the facilities to come up with a list of minimum deliverables for each project. So once we get into the allocation and know what each branch is going to get, we also know once we start the projects, public and the staff know what's going to happen at each branch. So I did a draft, presented it to the subcommittee at their September meeting. They recommended some changes to it. I've made those changes, and now I bring it to you for discussion and hopefully approval. It can only be semi-officially approved because until we have the actual allocations, we don't really, there's some things that might have to come on the list or go off the list depending on how much money is allocated, but this is a place to start, and should we have those allocations, if this is approved, we wouldn't take much to change it. There's some where we have as budget allows. I based this on what the architects were recommending in the facilities master plan, particularly their last review that they did with us, the study session at the end of July. They went back and they refined some of the numbers, and they really defined what those numbers represented. And so there are some places where staff was going, well, you know what, we really could also use this, and it wasn't in there. So we threw those in kind of as the budget allows. These would be nice things to consider. The idea being that if a certain amount, the jurisdiction has a certain amount allotted to that particular branch, and for some reason they come in under budget rather than diverted to another branch, let's see what else we can get done at that at the branch for which the money was originally intended. So that's what the list is. Are there any questions about it? Subcommittee members, feel free to chime in.
Councilmember Termini?
I have a question. Aptos, Felton, Capitola, you know, major improvements and expansion for building from the ground up. And it seems like the lower limit has been lowered on all three of those branches. And are we saying that that's a precursor to potentially rearrangement of the funding distribution?
It was based on discussions with the architects of really how, what's the minimum. We're really talking the minimum floor here. So this is the minimum we're going to get. We certainly would hope that particularly those projects are not built to the minimum.
Because all three of them are below the facility recommended.
Based on the dollar amounts that we, when we gave the architects the 61 million to work within, in terms for projects, 63 million for the measure, they came back with some of the projects did get smaller. Particularly Aptos was one that got smaller because there wasn't the money to do it to do that size. So it's, you're certainly welcome to change these any way you like. This was just kind of from a library perspective, from an operational perspective. These were as low as we would really want to see these go. We certainly would like them bigger, but we can certainly live with these minimums. They would do the job for us.
Yes, I thought I did attend the subcommittee meeting, even though I wasn't on the committee, and I thought the discussion at the subcommittee was helpful, and I think the list is helpful. I was, at the time, I don't know if the subcommittee members were feeling this way, I thought that we would likely have the allocations, the proposed allocations in front of us when we reviewed this. It seems to me that we ought to table this till we know what the allocations are. And in part, responds to your concern, if we know what the allocations are for each of the branches, and in fact, what we had proposed is, for instance, coming to Felton, I'd want the minimum to be the 9,200 that's in the plan. So it seems to me it is dependent on the allocations. So I think it's a really great first step in setting up the minimum standards that we want, but my suggestion is that we not adopt this until we know what the allocations are going to be.
Councilmember Matthews.
Well, I also appreciate this revision. I think the main thing from my point of view is that at the subcommittee, each branch, this is just for those who weren't there, each branch was described meet 21st century standards, and people who had their eyes on it particular branch said, well, we'd like that spelled out for each branch so that if you are just looking at your branch, you're not left to refer back to an opening paragraph. So it looks very redundant, but that's the reason. And I do think it's important that we adopt this minimum standard document now because we're still hashing out the amounts. And I think our hope is that we will come out with an amount that polls well, that can give us the maximums. But I do think we have to make progress, and we have to tell people what are we in fact shooting for. And this is a very core concept. And we've been telling people for months and months, we're going to 21st century standards. What does that mean? And what are the specific things that the different branches need? And I think this is what our staff has given us. So I would like to see us adopt this report, understanding that if the world changes, we come back and revisit it. But I think the statement's been made. We anticipate, hope, and plan that we will be able to shoot for the large end of the size.
Mayor Reed, then Council Member Kennedy.
I agree very, very emphatically with what Cynthia said. I think for an awful long time, we've been cognizant of this. We've talked about it as we've debated this over the last 6, 8, 9 months. These decisions really are not up to this body. They are up to the, at the end of the day, they're going to happen or not happen because of the jurisdictions who are parties to this agreement, not because of this body. And every day, it seems to me, every month that we do not kick these over to the four respective bodies to start deliberating and discussing and for those jurisdictions to share among each other and work out the details, is another month that we can't get back. We are on an extremely tight timeline if we hope to hit January 2015. There's not going to be a lot of room for disagreements or back and forth to enable us to hit that timetable. We're going to have to get things really worked out, and I don't know if it's 60 days, 90 days, but it is very, very quick. And every day, every month that we don't kick this to the jurisdictions to get it going is one day closer to us having to pull the plug on June 2015, it seems to me. So this, the luxury that we have, it seems to me, is these are things that can move forward in parallel. It all doesn't have to be a grand all-at-once proposition. We can move on several things, and where we find agreement, let's come to agreement there, and where we don't have agreement yet, let's work on it, so, but we'll get some things locked down, and we'll that'll teach us what we have to focus on so that we can get to the solution that's required for this to go on the ballot in June. And hopefully coming to agreement early on things will make it all that much more exciting for us to see that this really is an accomplishable goal and focuses that much more on the few things that we don't have consensus on and force us to really get those worked out in a short order.
Board Member Mosher?
Well, I'm still... my problem here is that if we vote on it tonight, I would like to see the three targets for the three new branches in here rather than the minimums that are less. This is going to raise all kinds of red flags. I know this up where I am. To say the minimum 7,500 like grants of 40 is going to be misread as interpreting this board as supporting a smaller library in Felton and therefore potentially a smaller allocation. So if we're going to do this, then I would like to see the three. And I don't know if this is true in Aptos and in Capitola, but it seems to me that we want to have the targets in there then, as shown in the general plan, so it can't be misinterpreted by the constituency that's going to see this.
Yeah, I think Director Mosher has a very good point, because I just knowing how it means we all have our territory, and, you know, we just need to know how much total we're going to have, because we've heard the discussions of who's going to want what, and frankly, I don't see that if we want to stay into the per parcel tax limit that was advised by the consultant, and everybody's not going to get it. Everything. And if we get to a point where they said, well, we're 10% over, so everybody's going to have to cut by 10%, and we don't have that maximum to start with, I think Aptos would feel the same way, that if it didn't get its, and probably Capitola as well, that there's going to be a lot of difficult explaining to do, that we're not going to, we know what we want, and we should put it out there of what's desirable first. And then the big discussion is going to come down to how much we're going to be able to spend on this and how big the parcel tax bond is going to be.
Board Member Dexter.
Well, I think with respect to what Council or Supervisor McPherson and Citizen Member Mosher said, I think that we have the target. We know it from the facility master plan. It's already out there. I sort of assume that's our maximum. And if we could maybe reference that in this document, that's our understood maximum. It seems to me two or three meetings ago, one of us, I can't remember who, actually asked, what is, if we all had to shave off, if we all have to understand that we're not going to get everything, what's the minimum we can live with? Well, now we have that. And we have something here that at least the architects and the professional library staff have told us this would get us to the 21st century. It seems to me that's a good, that's something we need to endorse with the understanding that we already have the maximum laid out for us in the facilities master plan. So maybe if we, you know, reiterate that in this so that our constituents all understand we know what we really want, but this is the minimum we could live with. Maybe that would help.
The Felton warning does reference the plan.
Oh, okay.
After Kent, I'll speak after you.
I'm just wondering, throwing it out for discussion, if it would help if we just flipped the numbers here and said with a goal of X, but an absolute minimum of
right,
something like that. I don't know if that would feel any better to you, but I think we are clear that our goals are what they are.
It's funny, I appreciate it. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, because I was actually looking at the language for each of those branches. When you look at Aptos, when you look at Capitola, and then Felton, it talks about as recommended. I mean, I think if we were to do as you're suggesting, maybe change the language to highlight that, you know, we are striving to have, you know, the library that was outlined in the plan, whether it's, you know, it says as indicated, as recommended, or as, you know, as recommended in the plan. I mean, all the others talk about, you know, highly recommended, you know, requirements for each. That might be one way to address it so that it's clear that there's direction for the as you said, the 9,300 square foot branch.
I'm still concerned about having this in the plan before the allocations have been set. That's my concern, is that we don't have the allocations set. And it seems to me we're going to have to amend this no matter what. So I guess in respect to Councilmember Matthews and Councilmember Reed's statement that, you know, we want to move forward. I totally agree with that. I'm feeling very frustrated that we're not. But I don't see how us approving this now, when we know it's going to have to be amended once we know what the allocations are. I mean, I assume it will, because we're going to know how much money there is, and then we can say what the minimum standards are within the context of how much money is being allocated for each branch. So we're going to have to amend it anyway. So it seems to me the easiest solution is to say, when we know the allocations, hopefully we'll know November 1st. We were hoping in the November meeting, these can be amended to meet what the actual allocations are, and we can vote on our recommendation to the four jurisdictions together. But if we're going to vote on it tonight, I feel pretty strongly I don't want these minimums in, at least for the Felton Library, because it's going to be misinterpreted, and it's going to hurt rather than help our progress in terms of having building support for the bond measure.
Let me take a pause unless someone wants to speak right now. I could ask, is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this item? Sir, you have 3 minutes.
My name is Dean Lundholm. I live in Live Oak. And I've looked at the numbers a little bit and did a couple of ratios. And the student of Santa Cruz is going to be allocated $437 per person. The Live Oak is being allocated $48 per person. I think that is almost unsupportable difference. The City of Santa Cruz has 21,000 people per library. The unincorporated area has 26,000 people per library, and yet the city is getting almost $8 million more. Live Oak for many years has been considered, treated like the third world district in the county. And I think that's time to stop. I would ask you to look at a more equitable distribution.
Thank you, sir. Is there any other member of the public that would like to speak to this item? Okay, we'll bring it back for discussion.
I'm pretty sympathetic to the point that Councilmember Mosher is making, and excuse me.
Citizen member.
Please,
don't assault me.
And Supervisor McPherson.
Very smart.
We don't live in the city.
I am also sympathetic to the point that Mayor Reed and Councilmember Matthews are making, that I feel that it is important that we as a body show that when something's come to us, that we can evaluate it and make a decision on it and move forward on it. I can't know how this would be interpreted in Felton better than Citizen Member Mosher can. But I guess I'm a little surprised that if we didn't put in bright, bold letters that we would, our goal is the highest possible square footage that we're putting in, but if necessary, we will reduce it, that wouldn't be misinterpreted. But, you know, I can't know better than Citizen Mosher and Supervisor McPherson. But I do feel it's important that we act on this in some way.
Yeah, it's difficult to say how you're going to base this. It's not on population, because the needs in some sections of the county are greater than others. I mean, literally, there's some, we need a total new library in some capital and Felton in particular. So it just, you can't take it apples and apples by population. And that's not to argue with, I understand the argument with Mr. Lindholm. But this is going to be really difficult. I mean, when we did this in somebody did it in 2008, which I supported. We weren't into this when we were doing the quarter cent sales, who's going to get what. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, let's pass this, and then we're going to do a lot of things. So we're in a tight box here to please everybody. It's going to be really difficult to do. But I think that something, yeah, and I appreciate, I was a member of that subcommittee to look at this, and we talked about it and how it would be worded and all that, and it is what we had said. But further review, maybe we should say, we would like to have each branch meet the recommendations of what the facilities plan shows. And because we're not saying what, the lows and highs of these things. I think we just want to say, we're going to try to do our best with what's there. I mean, because it doesn't matter until we make the decision how much money is there and how it's going to be divided. And I think you have a good point about and I say that, again, if you haven't been a member of the subcommittee or the committee, that why get ahead of ourselves if we really don't know what we're going to be able to allocate to certain branches? I'm concerned about that. Yeah.
Thank you. Supervisor Friend.
So maybe this would be more of a question for you, Jim, whether you'd be amenable to this. As obviously a representative in an area that outlines something below what my constituents are probably interested in, I'm not as concerned with the verbiage for Aptos or Capitola with two caveats. One, a clarification language is the goal of this body, and as Jim, as Mayor Reed pointed out, it obviously our body is really just serves in an advisory capacity realistically anyway. But that it's the goal of this body to provide the minimum deliverable as outlined in the plan. I think that should be something that would be part of the motion. But I think you can tell me if this would be amenable to Felton. Maybe we just either, you made a comment about the square footage being a red herring or a concern for you. Maybe we eliminate that line for Felton specifically that speaks to it, or just add something that says that the goal is to have 9,300 and don't even reference a minimum specific square footage for Felton. I think that while leaving the language for the rest of us intact, because we seem pretty amenable to it, and then adding that additional target language in that says that our overall goal is to have the facilities plan. Does that sound like something that for you two would be amenable?
I would be amenable to that. Just in responding to the comment from the audience also, though, there is this negotiating going on about LIBO Council Member Leopold was here last time. He made it pretty clear, and the audience made it pretty clear, that Leibold was not happy with what was in the facilities master plan. So it strikes me that, again, when the final numbers come out, there's very likely going to have to be some major revision of this document. So
okay.
I'm willing to drop my opposition if we drop that line.
Okay.
But it seems to me still, like, I don't see this as much progress in passing it. I don't, because it's going to have to be revised. It's a very helpful document as it is. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced we need to take any action tonight.
Okay.
It's like our cart before the horse.
I
want to
clarify one thing. Can I clarify something?
Sure.
When the allocations come out, even though we say this is what we want to allocate to each branch, what that money buys will not be known until we're in the design phase.
Mm-hmm.
So
admitting
our intention may be to give Capitola, what is it, $12 million, and they're going to build a 12,000 square foot branch with that. Reality is, when we go to design, maybe that $12 million is only going to buy
mm-hmm.
11,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
If we have told people, because the intention is that this become of that part of that facility's
financing JPA agreement that we're saying we're going to build an 11,000 and we really only have the money. I mean, yeah, we only have the money for an 11,000 and we promised 12, we're in trouble. And that could happen on any one of these projects. So if the wording, and the lawyers among you can speak to this better, if we say the goal is, but in reality, when it comes down to it, we just don't have the money for it, is that going to be okay?
Thank you.
I totally agree with you on that, and that's part of why I'm hesitant on this, is it seems to me we can't even think about the minimums till we know what the money is, because we set minimums without knowing what the money is, what the allocation is going to be, then exactly your point, which is we may have this much money, but we may not be able to deliver the goal. We can then be we can be more certain about, well, what is the minimum we can get for this amount of money? So it just strikes me that we need to know what the money is for each branch before we can start saying these will be the minimum.
Thank you,
which
board member.
We're going to have to revise it.
Thank you, board member Mosher. Supervisor Friend.
Okay, first, Mr. Lundholm, it's been heard. There's a lot of agreement, and just know that you probably don't know that some of the language that's actually in the Live Oak thing actually is working toward exactly what your goal, so it just sort of looks like code language, but it is. So I'll move the recommended action with the additional direction that there be clarity that the goal is to provide what's minimum outlined in the facilities master plan, and then under the Felton list, we eliminate the minimum 7,500 square feet, instead say a target of 9,300 square feet is indicated.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion by Supervisor Friend.
I have a friendly amendment.
Second by Councilmember Matthews, and turn it over to.
If you use the same language for Gavitola.
For Councilmember Germany, I could pretty much do anything.
That's all I want.
So that is a friendly amendment for me.
Target of 12,000?
I mean, if you think that it makes the most sense.
Only when we leave this room and carry it back home. That's when it starts making sense.
Well, I only have to drive past Capitol on my way home, so I'm probably safe. But if what your friendly amendment's really saying that we should just make it that the target is and eliminate the minimum language, then I would accept that as a friendly amendment. The second would amend that. So that would be for Aptos. The only three it's delineated in, I think, are Aptos, Capitol, and Felton. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is the seconder of the motion amenable
so
to that?
So they would all just refer to targets. Aptos, first bullet. Target, 11,000.
Yep. As recommended.
That's right.
Yeah.
Capitol targets,
target, 11 to 12,000. That's exactly what's there.
Yep.
And Felton target.
9,300.
I'm comfortable with that because it says target.
Yes,
it is not a promise.
Just don't want to
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. So we have a motion and a second.
Good discussion. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Okay.
So the next item on the agenda is other business. B, provide direction regarding the Santa Cruz Library Facilities Joint Powers Authority Agreement.
Okay, so what I did this last month was responded to direction from the board, which was, my understanding was to focus on the JPA for the facilities financing agreement for that JPA. We'll call that the facilities JPA. And we had a draft that was presented last month, and the request was for the jurisdictions to come back with their comments to be sent on to the attorney to modify that agreement as legally necessary. I did only get comments from three jurisdictions in a timely manner. The last one I received from the county was last Thursday, so it's been shared with bond counsel, but there's obviously been no time for any response. The county's agreement recommendation was very different. It really made a lot of major changes to the agreement, one of them being that the allocations need to be in there from the get-go, and we're not there yet. So I came up with several options that the board could go through. One would be to continue with minor revisions to the original draft and then hold a special session on October 20th to approve that. Then send it to each jurisdiction for their approval. We've got to have approval of this JPA by December in order to get going on it by January to start establishing the CFD. And I know you all have different schedules in November and December because of the holidays. So we need to be sensitive to the fact of deadlines for agenda packets and all that. We could wait for the administrators to come to agreement. I believe the county is also interested in all three agreements being revised at the time of approving the facilities JPA. They do have a meeting on Wednesday. There's some that feel they can finish that by the end of October and get it to the jurisdictions by November. This would bypass the board because there wouldn't be time to bring it back to the board. If they can't reach consensus, then we need to postpone the election until after the various agreements can be finalized. So if you want to go that route, you're going to need to give direction on how to proceed with doing that. Do you want to bring a third party in to do an independent recommendation? So we basically need to decide on which way you want to move forward. Do you want all those agreements finalized? You had expressed at one point to not deal with the operating JPA until after the election. Do you want to confirm or affirm that? You're willing to have a special session? What do you want to do?
Okay. Is that clear, everybody?
I'm afraid it is. A question for the library director. So you just received the revisions on Thursday from
yes.
the county?
Yes.
So they couldn't have been included in the packet?
I was asked not to include them in the packet. They were considered a working document.
That seems like a special meeting is in order.
Customer Matthews?
Are you done?
Oh, well, yes.
I
did leave that history.
I do feel very strongly that before anything goes out to the jurisdictions, it needs to come to us.
Okay.
We are the governing body.
Yeah.
I think we've given very clear direction that we wanted to focus on the required JPA for the facilities district, and that we were comfortable setting that in motion with the stipulation that nothing would move forward until there was an amendment specifying the projects. And that to me seems like the most realistic way to move forward, get this thing in the pipeline for a June election. I, given the history on this, do not think it's in the least bit reasonable to expect that all the necessary issues will be resolved. That's not necessary legally to get this thing going, and it's nowhere near reasonable to think it's going to happen. We're trying very hard to make it happen, but we have a relentless schedule to hit. So I'm going to suggest the first version. I mean, that's where we'll have a discussion, but that's certainly where my interests are going. Proceeding with all due haste on the CFD facilities financing part of it. Anticipated amendment as described.
Anybody else like to comment on this item?
So I have full understanding. We go forward with the original draft, which does not have the county's changes in it, then would the amendment come before us and then go to the jurisdictions or go right through to the jurisdictions?
No, amendment would come to the
jurisdictions.
And
when would this amendment, this magical amendment, when would it come before us?
It would have to come before, well, March 6th is the deadline for calling the election. So it would have to get approved by all the jurisdictions before that. So my guess is it would need to be finished up sometime in January at the latest so that it could then go to the jurisdictions in February. So the allocations, the minimum deliverables, which based on the final allocations, but are you approved tonight, the RFP for the design standards for furniture, shelving, and signage closes tomorrow, so we'll be able to get started on that pretty soon.
I'm trying to understand the purpose of our action tonight, approving the original draft, if...
Well, let me...
Except
if
symbolically.
If I could interrupt
I'm
you.
I'm all about symbolism, so
no,
I'm
it's not symbolic.
I gather the administrators are having another meeting Thursday, I think.
Wednesday.
Someone mentioned that. If the fates should shine upon us, they will reach agreement on the CFD JPA. That would be enough to move forward. And that's what I would hope, that they'll meet, hopefully they can come to an agreement, limited to the CFD financing authority creation. And that's what would come back to us at our special meeting to launch, and that we would commit to working on these other things as soon as we can. We cannot have an election in June if we haven't reached agreement pretty damn soon on the two. Everybody's working on that. But we can't wait to that to hang up getting the CFD in here.
Board Member Dexter.
Well, I agree with Council Member Matthews. It seems to me, as I understand it, if we if we can agree on the facilities JPA that would allow us to establish with the caveat of the amendment,
mm-hmm.
then, but just that we would have it with that caveat, then we would at any time be able to move forward quickly to get that CFD established and move forward with an election. And whether it's in June or later, I'm hoping it's June, but the main thing is this is the first step that actually gets us to an election. And if we're really serious about this, and really serious about moving forward with it, then we have to be able to say, yes, let's get this established. And this is the technicality that allows us the opportunity to at least get moving on the election. All of the other details that we're having a lot of angst about can be, it does allow for that to be discussed and deliberated in the jurisdictions. We'd still have time for all of that, but we would at least have a mechanism that would quickly allow us to move forward for June 15th or, if it had to be later, but at least we would have something in place for that.
I just have a quick question. When would the administrators need to reach a final decision for us to have something before us by either the 20th or the 27th for a special meeting?
The 20th, my calendar in front of me, so Thursday or Friday before the 20th, 19th, 18th, but 17th, I would have to have a packet to you. So you would have to get to and from attorneys by the 17th.
Well, that's when you have to have a packet to us, so you probably need something by then by the 14th, or?
I would need if I had a final version that had been vetted by the bond council, I could get it as late as the 16th. It would take me any time to turn it around.
27th is more rational.
Yeah, 27th.
I can count backwards. Friday the 24th is when the packet would be due.
So you need by the 23rd?
23rd or so.
So what if we looked at these suggestions 1 and 2, where we looked at, we provide at least a deadline for when the administrators need to have that final approval done so we can meet that. We kind of give that direction so that we're looking at it, both suggestion 1 and 2, where we're directing some conclusion on this discussion so that they'll have something before us that we can actually deliberate on.
My feeling is we invite the administrators. They're meeting at our invitation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we invite them to work really hard and come up to an agreement that will go through on council review and so forth. And, if they can't come up with agreement, we get to review on October 20th or 27th or whatever it is. The best shot. And it does not include the governance issues, and it does not include the specification of the particular projects. Those will be handled later.
Well, they're going to have to be handled. Before we make a really solid decision, this is where we're going to go. The governance issue, I think, and structure, and some of the allocations process. We're going to have to know that.
Of course.
Well, then we have to have...
The governance?
We agree.
Supervisor McPherson has the floor. Go ahead.
Yeah. But the issue of, we've decided the governance issue, but we're going to have to know the allocations, and we're going to have the input from them. So I don't mind... meeting again October 27th, but we're going to have to say we got to have it down out front of how much people are going to get and where. And it's got to be known by the 27th.
Councilmember Matthews.
That does not have to be known by the 27th, legally. All we need to do is come up with language that we can get to our jurisdictions by the end of this year, setting up the framework for the facilities JPA. Nothing is going to move forward until we amend that JPA with the particulars. But that doesn't have to be done on the same inexorable timeline. So that's what I think is important.
But it does have to be done before we
before we go to the ballot or anything else, of course. But it does not have to be done, given the difficulties involved. I think that just sets us up to failure, to think that we have to have that all resolved with the administrators agreeing and meshing with our picture of what we want collectively or individually. And we just really need to give very limited direction to initiate setting up the facilities JPA with the condition that it be amended before being implemented with a specific plan for the distribution.
Councilmember Turnbull.
Does that mean that each jurisdiction will have this come before them two times? Once
JPA yes.
And once for the final event, for the
with
supplemental,
the yes.
Which is what actually lets it go to the voters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm a little fearful of that. And yet, on the 23rd of October, a lot of our working documents and a lot of this discussion is going to be an open session in Capitola. So we have to be prepared for that.
23rd or 16th?
The 23rd. And so I don't know if that's going to inspire the administrators or make them nervous or do either or both to this body, but I have requested of my fellow council members to give me direction on how I should position myself with regard to this whole matter. So whatever working documents are in place, the city manager of Capitola will be pressed to produce them, I have no doubt. So we have to be prepared for that. Because if he produces them, it will be reported on. And when it's reported on, we'll hear from the public.
Board Member Mosher?
I appreciate what you're saying, Council Member Termini. I also appreciate that this is not a legal requirement, that we can go forward with this. But maybe I'm misunderstanding. The decision is actually with the four jurisdictions. Our vote will be a recommendation, right, to the four jurisdictions. The county has made it pretty darn clear. We talked about this last month, that they want the allocations in this agreement before it goes forward. And it seems to me you have yet another couple of weeks to hash that out. I don't know that the county's going to approve it if we go ahead and do this. We're giving a recommendation with the county, with the administrator from the county, writing us a memo saying that the county can't support this without the allocations. So without speaking to the merits of that, it seems to me that I totally support, let's have a special meeting. I would certainly like to see the allocations in that so we can go forward with that. When we go to Capitola, we can say this is the plan. So that's where I'm at.
Thank you. Why don't we take a pause for a moment and see if any member of the public would like to speak to this item. Is there anyone that would like to speak to this item? Ma'am?
I'm Nicole Coburn with the County Administrative Office. I just wanted to explain that the version of the facilities JPA that we gave to Teresa last week incorporates comments and changes from the county and the three cities. We're in consensus on most of that agreement. I think we just need to work out the distribution, which is currently in that agreement, and I think that agreement can move forward. We're going to be speaking with them this week about all three agreements. We want to see the overall plans for library systems, so I think we're headed in a direction where we can continue to move forward.
Okay. Council Member, I was going to see if anyone else wants to speak. Anyone else? Sir, you have 3 minutes.
I guess I felt last month, I'm Bruce Holloway from Boulder Creek. It seems like the city and the county are just sort of talking past each other here. The county is saying, you know, there's number three in the memo, necessity to finalize revisions to the operating JPA and LFA agreements before approving this. And, you know, every time this comes up, the city seems to say, you can just approve the financing agreement, I mean, the facilities agreement without the other two. And the county's pretty much saying, no, we've got to do something about the other two agreements before we commit to, you know, another 30 years together. And two of the issues with the other two agreements that I know about that make sense to clear up is whether the library director reports to this board or the Santa Cruz city manager. That seems to be, to me, that it needs to be dealt with. And then what is the contribution by the city of Santa Cruz to the financing grant? So those are two issues that are very important to this whole system going forward. And it just seems to me that they need to be resolved along with everything else. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Holloway. Okay, we'll bring it back to the board. Any other discussion points? Councilmember Matthews.
The issues that Mr. Holloway referred to, as I understand, are covered in our existing JPA, and there is general agreement, as I understand, for future revisions, and those are not the sticking points here. We have heard often from the county that we're very close on issues, and there's just a couple things left to fix, but those couple things are significant. And so I think it's probably not an accurate statement to say that we are really close. I hope we are getting closer. I will say it's not a matter of the city versus the county, it's the cities having a significant difference of opinion with the county on how to approach this. And I will say that it's been frustrating in that the things that we hear on the county's position morph over time. It's really frustrating. So I hope that when the administrators get together, they can come to narrow agreement on setting up the framework for the facilities JPA, and we can get that going, and we can do some really serious work on coming up with the distribution of the funds. And again, we're not going to know. What we're apparently moving forward with is everybody's wish list. We're going to have to poll again. And if we don't poll well on the everybody's wish list version, we are going to be back for revisions. And that's why I think we can't really commit on the short term to the specific distribution. But others may want to kick in. I would be prepared to make a motion that we give the director direction to work very specifically, and have some language on coming back with the JPA for the facilities financing.
It's Councilmember Termini.
That's a very rational motion, and I would second it. And I think
when it's made.
If and when it's ever made. I think we do have to move it along. And I think that we have to inspire our respective administrators to do so as well. I think the real sticking point for me, or not for me, but it seems that the sticking point is the operating JPA. Because this body has already said that too many changes, too much near the election, and we're still hearing from the county administrator that that has to be done prior. I know the other things can get worked out. I know it's just a matter of negotiating them through. That is something that we've stood against. So I'm not sure that can be worked out based on the county administrator's letter that we received. That was a pretty glaring requirement. The rest of them could all be worked out. Unless this body wanted to reconsider that, and I don't think we did.
I'm prepared to make a motion unless other people want to comment first.
Please go ahead.
So I will move that we direct the library director to finalize the facilities financing JPA agreement, including the requirement for an amendment or MOU regarding specific allocations and scope of work for the various branches. before an election can be called. She's further directed to bring that back to the JP, the Joint Powers Board, at a special meeting to be held, and are we looking at 27th now? Does that seem most reasonable?
27th.
Okay, on October 27th, 6 p.m. Downtown Library, after which, should the Joint Powers Board approve this version, the version presented, it will be forwarded to the jurisdictions for approval by the respective legislative bodies.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion by Councilmember Matthews, second by Councilmember Termini. I just want to make a friendly amendment to see if we need to add and have 6:30 start time to the meeting just to...
It works for me.
Okay.
6:30.
Six, supervised time?
Yeah, 6:35. I do think ultimately that this is just sort of like a lot of discussion, and ultimately it's going to be decided by the jurisdiction, so I would rather fast track it to the jurisdictions than this. I'm not going to be supporting the motion really for that reason, because I just think that we're just in a lot of process that is ultimately going to be decided. I think that there's been debate about whether or not the county administrative officer represents what it is that the county elected see, and I think that maybe it's time for the county Board of Supervisors to make it clear what it is that the County Board of Supervisors would like to see out of this, because a lot of this functionally is just just additional discussion. I mean, we actually don't even direct our county administrator. I mean, this board can't even direct county and city staff to do things. This is just sort of a recommendation, to be honest. So this is all just process, and so because of that, I heard everything you said, but I think that ultimately now this has to move more into the political realm than it's been by the respective elected body. So just because of that, I'm not going to be supporting this motion.
Any further discussion? Okay. We'll put it to a vote.
Roll call.
Roll call vote. Sure.
Supervisor Friend?
No.
Supervisor McPherson?
No.
No? Councilmember Matthews?
Yes.
Councilmember Reed?
Aye.
Councilmember Termini?
Aye.
Councilmember Terrazas?
Yes.
Citizen Campbell?
Yes.
Citizen Dexter?
Yes.
Citizen Mosier?
No.
need to read that.
Okay, read it up.
Okay.
Those were, well, the yeses were Councilmember Matthews, Councilmember Reed, Councilmember Termini, Councilmember Terrazas, Citizen Member Campbell, Citizen Member Dexter, voting no, Supervisor Friend, Supervisor McPherson, and Citizen Member Mosier.
Passes 6-3 by that vote that was just read out. So, thank you. Mm-hmm. We'll move to the next item on the agenda, which is other written communications, and generally we just review these unless there's any specific questions of any of the board members. Councilmember Matthews?
My family's waiting to have my birthday dinner.
Please. don't forget your cupcake. Thank you for being here.
See you around.
Yeah, happy
birthday. Cupcake support.
Any questions regarding written communications? No? We'll move on then to the board meeting calendar.
There's some recommended possible changes due to election eve, November 3rd, moving that meeting to November 10th. I do understand we have a couple of our citizen members will not be able to be here.
On the 10th?
On the 10th.
I may.
Okay. You are?
Must be
both
two.
Of you?
Yeah.
The other two.
So we're moving it to the 10th or not?
The recommendation is to move it to the 10th, but we need to understand.
The November meeting?
Hmm?
The November 3rd meeting, move the
November
10th to the 10th.
Yes, because
so
November 3rd is
so
election eve.
So
well,
they might be busy. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I'm not running for election. Yes, I understand.
You haven't done everything you need to do by the 10th or by the
3rd.
Trust me.
I know.
With
respect to my.
I have no problem with keeping
okay?
it on the 3rd.
Did one of you make the request for the?
I did not. I didn't make the request at the same time. I would like to have it moved.
Yeah, actually, there's three of our.
There, I didn't make the request. So
no,
I
thought of it.
Okay.
Well, you'll have several members who are here in body and not mind at best.
Yeah,
although that's an improvement.
That's not really. Sometimes. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you say? I mean, if you want. What's the board for the 10? Okay, so we'll move it to the 10. Thank you for your consideration.
I'd also like to, this is also my recommendation, move December 1st to December 8th. December 1st is the Monday right after Thanksgiving, which means getting a packet out is extremely difficult. And particularly since we move the other one to the 10th, there'd be no time in between. So we're going to lose you again?
You're going to lose me. Yeah.
And I am much more careful with next year's calendar because June, the Monday before the June election would have been a meeting, so I'm already looking at changing that one.
Okay, so we'll move that meeting to the 8th, and it sounds like
Sean
Campbell won't be there.
Skype in, Elizabeth.
And then also we since we just had the motion, we're going to have a special meeting on October 27th, so mark your calendars. It sounds like everyone's available at 6:30.
Are you available on the 27th?
Yes.
Good.
Okay, so the next meeting then is actually going to be Monday, November 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Downtown Branch Library. That's the next meeting. And if there's no further discussion, the meeting's adjourned. So